Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The home team.
And here we go.
All right, kicking off hour number two, the home team, presented by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future. Elevated, Chris and Jeff till 7. As we get set for today's exciting edition of the 5 at 5. Brought to you, as always, by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, let's start with the grad transfer portal, which Georgia was working with this weekend. They have beamed two new players to Athens. Wake Forest quarterback Jamie Newman, and today we get news that Florida State tight end Trey McKitty is committing to Georgia. So, Jeff, I don't really need to start with Newman. I guess we've talked about him a lot, assuming he was coming here.
Right.
Kind of know what we're getting with him. Coach Rick said he's going to be the best quarterback in the SEC next year. And, you know, Coach Rick was working on that ACC network, so he saw a lot of Newman.
He sure did. Well, I think clearly Georgia's added the next Lamar Jackson and Kellen Winslow here with Newman and
Kellen
here.
You're talking about Kellen Winslow Sr.?
The one, yes, the Chargers.
Yeah, because Junior's got...
No, he is...
Isn't he in jail now?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't want him. I'll take Senior.
Or Ozzie Newsome.
Let's go with Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah, to avoid any confusion.
Or Tony Gonzalez. How about that?
Tony Gonzalez is great.
Yeah.
I do think the big thing with these two guys, as we were saying, Bramer, when we wrapped up the last hours, that they're helping bridge the gap because you've got a lot of youth at the quarterback and tight end position with what Georgia's got on campus and with what Georgia's got coming in. And with the experience, Newman will obviously be the front runner to be the starting quarterback, and he'll take part in spring practice. He's already enrolled, so he counts towards this current recruiting class, the one of December 19/February 2020. And again, with his numbers at Wake Forest, he's a very good player. I mean, you would think he would be the front runner to be the starter. I think for McKitty too, you're just adding a lot of experience here because Scyther and Godey are going to be redshirt freshmen. Fitzpatrick's going to be a redshirt sophomore. Darnell Washington's going to be a true freshman. And he was a good player at Florida State, and I think he'll probably be excited to play with a quarterback of Newman's caliber. You know, it's kind of like we said, the two grad transfers Georgia picked up this past year. You know, neither Cager nor Wolf had steady quarterback play at Miami or Tennessee, and then to get to come on with a great player, Jake Fromm, certainly helped both of them.
With McKitty, who, you know, as we've talked about, Werner and Wolf pretty much gobbled up all of the minutes, snaps last year at tight end, leaving you with guys who have been in the program but haven't really played. So let's just assume McKitty's coming here with the experience. Like, he's going to be Georgia's starting tight end. Who do you figure is kind of the number two guy then behind him?
It'd probably be Fitzpatrick. He played some, and Todd Hartley's an excellent, excellent young coach. And part of what he's going to be doing is trying to develop those young guys. And with both Scyther and Godey, who are very highly recruited guys, they're both really big. I just remember before last year, we looked at the picture of the tight ends when they all went to Todd's place to eat dinner. I guess it was a night or two before practice started. All the position coaches had their players out, and like, what a massive group. I mean, you know, Charlie Werner's huge. He's 6'4", 6'5", 235, and he was far from the biggest guy there. And now you have big Darnell Washington coming in too, presuming that he does play tight end. And, you know, that's a spot where Georgia's going to clearly have to develop some talent there. We've had so many good tight ends through the years, but you go from now to turning pro early and now Charlie being a senior and Wolf leaving, all of a sudden, you know, it can happen, you know, kind of similar to the quarterback spot, that you go from having a ton of depth and experience to all of a sudden it's like, well, we're pretty light on both of those. So and again, too, with a transfer deal here, these guys are graduate transfers. Newman has already graduated, and McKitty will graduate in the spring.
Yeah, so they don't need a waiver or anything from the NCAA to play. Tom Mars doesn't have to get involved in their eligibility.
I'm excited though about Newman coming in, and you know we'll see. You know, we'll see how good he is. He was very good at Wake Forest last year. His numbers were excellent. Now, the competition obviously wasn't the same, but at the same time, and even we all know what George is losing offensively, but he's still going to have better pieces around him. And I think with Newman, you look at George and you say, all right, the Dogs absolutely have a chance to win the East, beat Tech, and return to Atlanta with a very good record. I mean, I'm not sure if George will be good enough to be in a national quarterfinal again. But had Newman not come with Fromm leaving, or if Georgia hadn't have gotten another grad transfer quarterback, then you might be thinking like, well, you know, if you got to go with a freshman at QB with that schedule, you know, you might be looking at an 8-4 type here. But who knows how it'll all play out? Because again, I mean, the offensive line to me is an even bigger concern than quarterback. But I love Matt Luke. I think he's going to do a good job there. And we know the hand we've been dealt, so he'll have the entire spring to put together his best five, and then hopefully we'll get some help coming in the summer. And, you know, but I definitely think with Newman, Chris, and I think McKitty helps too, you know, Georgia goes into this season with at least a puncher's chance to have another great year.
Yeah, to win the East again. You know, all the bold predictions from last week that we kept hearing shouted out there from the first full week of the year that Florida was winning the East, I'll concede they're likely the favorite right now. Sure. That's fair, but they're far from a lock now. I think this definitely keeps George in that position to be able to tread water for this upcoming season. With to your point about the – because I think another thing with the O-line, not only losing – again, I mean, maybe four of the five starters, and then bookends at tackles. One of them's going to be a top five, top 10 pick, and I don't, you know, who knows where Wilson goes. Kinley's going to be drafted too, so I mean, you're losing NFL guys up front in a couple of those spots. But would you, to me, like there was the game this year, was it the Missouri game where we played three different guys at center? Like next season, we're not going to have that kind of versatility, right?
No,
that's the thing that's going to take a hit.
Yeah, that's where you got to keep your fingers crossed that for the first time in 3 years that we can stay healthy up front, because injuries have killed us there, which I think probably led to a lack of cohesion. Like we said, for the most part, the pass blocking was very good, but the run blocking, I don't think was up to par. And even though the line was very good, I think it underwhelmed. So now if you're looking at it, and I'm not even going to count on Ben Cleveland and Clay Webb. I mean, we'll see. So let's say Georgia starts Trey Hill, Warren Erickson, Warren McClendon, Jamari Sawyer, and Owen Condon, and you've got Xavier Truss in there. I think Matt Luke could form a good line. And again, all of those players were – very heavily recruited. I mean, these were all high-end recruits, and then we all know what we got coming in, and you never want to have to rely on true freshmen. But, you know, you could have – it's not outlandish that you could have, if Broderick Jones comes, say that he and Tate Ratledge could be your top backups there, and then you feel like, okay, we've got some quality depth there. But there's no doubt, you know, Georgia needs to bring those two guys in, and then – like we said, the top three prospects in the state for next year. You got two offensive tackles and a quarterback.
Well, you know, with the O-line, you always got a plan for attrition. And one of them in Thomas certainly was a no-brainer that he was – I mean, you pretty much started to assume his freshman season he was not going to be here.
Yes.
But for 3 years. But, I mean, technically, like, everyone who's leaving on the O-line could all have been back.
I know.
So I mean, that's where you're kind of dealt a, you know, potentially a blow if guys don't stay healthy.
And that's also where Mays leaving was just,
yeah, he's
so out of the blue. But that's the
crusher, because that's the one you were not expecting. That came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Yeah. So, I mean, basically the way you got to look at it now, but you know what? He's gone, and he was a part of the Sugar Bowl. So was Kinley. So was Jake Fromm. But, you know, you wish all those guys were here, but – you know, we all know what that gets you. Nothing. That Sugar Bowl did prove for the guys who want to be here, they went out and played hard and played together, and it was a tremendous win. And I think that's got to be the message moving forward here.
But including Mays, who left there.
That's just...
That's like an all-time blindside.
Yes.
Like, I have no idea, but I assume Kirby had no sense that that was coming either, did he?
I had heard nothing about that. I guess you've got to give, what, 24 hours notice, so...
Or you give notice and then the school has like 24 or 48 to put you in the database that we've all come to know as the transfer portal.
But that was just one where, you know, in the end, and listen, I'm glad we got him. He was a good player, but you know, he should have just gone to Tennessee in the first place. That's where his dad went. He grew up a Tennessee fan. And now what you've... He is.
But at the time he was coming out of high school, though, they were just a big loser program.
I know. So now he's a bandwagon fan.
I guess so.
He's back on board.
They beat Indiana and won a bowl game.
He has, I think it's suffice to say, from his recruitment to now, he has angered two fan bases.
Right. Yes. And like the things that Tennessee fans were saying about him when he coming out of high school, like Georgia fans are probably saying the same thing now back the other way to him.
But he
gets to come here this next year.
That's true. But it is one of those deals, and it's just talking to some of my buddies who played for the Dogs back in the 80s and 90s, and you know, obviously they would, you know, wish that a lot of these guys were back, but it's also, and again, the Sugar Bowl is a message of that, like we got to, you know, move forward now, and we've proven we can win. And we did it in the Sugar Bowl. Now, granted, again, some of those guys are gone, but this is all about who's here and who wants to be here. And another part of the Sugar Bowl that was so great is how many young guys played big roles in that game. You know, we're talking about Azeez Ojulari and Trayvon Walker and N'Kobe Dean and George Pickens and Zamir White. And you know, Warren Erickson gets his first start there. Salyer starting at right tackle. It was terrific.
Yeah, Lewis Seen.
Yeah, Seen played great. Now that defense could be really, 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 really good. But we'll see on the line. If Cleveland is back and eligible, that would certainly be a lift. And who knows what's going on with Clay Webb, but if he's okay to play, then you'd have the potential like, okay, well, maybe he could play center and Hill could play guard, and that could leave you a little wiggle room there.
Yeah. Well, no, it would at least.
But listen, the way things have gone, Chris, I'm not counting on either one of those guys to be here.
Well, you can't do that at Georgia.
No,
it's
like
things don't work out for us here like they seem to work out at other places.
I mean, it's like you said, the day that all of January the 8th, I mean, Jake Fromm, who was undoubtedly one of the best quarterbacks Georgia's had, undoubtedly one of the most popular players in Georgia football history, he announces he's leaving, he's turning pro. That was not the biggest hit of the day. Now, is it more important? Yes, but I think we all knew it was about 50-50. But just the cherry on top of a you-know-what Sunday was just, I mean, Kate, oh, really, you're going to leave and go to Tennessee?
Yeah.
All right. That
was the one that –
my gosh.
That was the real – stunner.
I think it's going to be an exciting spring, and you know, it's I think for everybody, for players, coaches, for fans, this is going to be about having a hungry football team. I'm always excited for George. I'm excited to see what we're able to do, and I think there's going to be a lot of, you know, positive things that could come out of the offensive situation at quarterback too, with Newman. You got Beck and Mathis, and you know, no matter what happens against Alabama, you know, hopefully we beat Virginia, but like that East Tennessee game, the Lou Monroe game, who knows, maybe against Vandy, you know, you're going to get to see, I would think, out of Beck and Mathis, at least one of those guys play some. And I think it's important. You know, you've got to get those guys some snaps just looking ahead to 2021. Because you don't want to be in the grad transfer business permanently. Again, I'm glad we got a guy, but at some point, you're going to have that first time starter at quarterback. And I get Newman's going to be a first time starter for Georgia.
No, yeah, Georgia's there are two elite quarterback prospects coming out,
and we need to get one.
Georgia's got to get at least one of them.
Yes,
and we're in on either one of them too. So that's the good thing.
And it could help the fact that you do have that grad transfer at quarterback, presuming that he starts the season, Williams and Vandegrift hopefully one signs with Georgia, there's not that incumbent to unseat.
Right. No, you know you've got a real shot to come in as a freshman and at least as good a shot as anyone to start.
Correct.
Right off the bat.
And you've got some depth back at the position.
Yeah. And 2021 is the there's no marquee manageable. Non-conference yeah. game. Do we play Arkansas that year out of the West along with, of course, Auburn? I think Arkansas is the other. I think Arkansas
That's
comes
correct.
Here in 21.
That's correct.
So,
by the way, that game in Starkville in 2022 just got a lot scarier.
I wish that game was here, though. Like Mike Leach will, he's not, tech right now at this point, he's not scheduled to appear in Athens.
That's for 2025 right? is when the new
yeah.
schedule comes out.
So you have no, we have no idea. Mike Leach might, he may never make it here at that point. All right, moving on in the 5-5, the national championship game tonight. Well, we have already moved on and are focusing on 2020 and Labor Day night against Virginia. LSU and Clemson still stuck in 2019. Thoughts on tonight's game? Who do you like? Are you willing to jump in front of the runaway train that was LSU at the end of the season?
I'm going to lean LSU. I'm with you there. That 6.5 points is a lot. I really do think it's a toss-up game. And you're looking at the caliber of quarterbacks in this thing. And like you said, the storyline of Ed Orgeron and Dabo Sweeney, just the unlikeliest of highly successful head coaches, what they've been able to do. And it's a deal. I mean, if Clemson wins this thing, I mean, you know, here's Clemson, which had really fallen off. I mean, the only other team kind of in modern college football that's won three national titles in a four-year period was Nebraska back in the 90s. And it's like, you know, like Clemson can do that. That's
yeah, I kind of like them tonight. I hesitate to call it recency bias since the games were on December 28th. And it
hey, that was a decade ago.
Right? It doesn't feel so recent, but I think there's definitely still an element of that coming into play with what LSU looked like at the end of the year. But and I'm not like trying to like downgrade anything that they've done, but when they blew out Texas A&M, I mean A&M was they had been here the week before. That was a worn out team. Our offense was depleted in the SEC championship game. Oklahoma's defense was depleted in the in the Peach Bowl. So, you know, as they were just kind of just mashing teams at the end of the season, they would have won all three of those games,
correct.
No matter how it turned out. But maybe they wouldn't look quite like the beast that they turned into to be. Whereas, you know, Clemson, I don't feels like they got lucky to win the Fiesta Bowl, but they got lucky to beat Ohio State, the third of the elite teams this year. And I just I got too much for what Clemson has done. You just look at them, 10-3 against the spread this year, with games you know like they're favored by like four touchdowns week in and week out.
They were favored by 33 over Wake Forest.
And one of the games they did not cover was when Texas A&M scored a touchdown with like 1 second to go.
Yes.
All right, so that's one of the three losses against the spread.
10, and that line was 15.
Yeah, that's one of their ATS losses was Texas A&M calling timeouts in the final seconds of the game to punch in a meaningless touchdown.
Not to everyone.
And then they're 10-1 in their last 11 games against the spread in bowl games. And most of those are in the playoff, and they've won 9 of those games straight up. I think you got Clemson's got a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. LSU's got the best offense, but their defense is the second weakest unit in the game tonight behind Clemson's special team, which would be the worst.
Yeah, you hit on that earlier. LSU is better than the kicking game. I mean, their punter's got a cannon. And that their kicker's just a freshman. It's like, oh my God, that guy's tremendous. The other thing, too, that makes me lean towards LSU winning the game, it just comes down to odds. And there were three teams that were clearly better this year. LSU, Ohio State, and Clemson.
Right.
LSU's only got to beat one.
Yep.
Clemson would have to beat two.
Yeah. But if there was a week in between games, I'd factor that
LSU
in more.
LSU has also played the much tougher schedule. There's a part of it that feels like LSU deserves to win the game with the season they've had.
Yeah, that was one of my my hang-ups with the Fiesta Bowl, was that these two teams are even, but one of their bodies of work was much more challenging.
Yes.
But in the end, it keeps coming up. Dabo and Clemson over and over. and over again.
Well, they've separated themselves so much in the ACC on the field and in recruiting that it just, you know, talking about math, it just gets down to it. They don't have nearly as many chances to lose as other elite programs do. And you're also, in theory, and it's proven to be, you're going to come through this thing healthier too. And you give them credit for getting to that point. I'm not knocking them at all. And hey, they played Texas A&M and South Carolina non-conference. So
yeah, but then it's the rest ACC of their league. I know they're not responsible for it, but you know, there's one thing to get to that point and then just have no one else in your league that has even got a pulse at this point. Next year they do play at Notre Dame, but that's one game. They right. open with Akron. Akron, talk about ATS.
They had
1-11.
You could have made a house payment just betting against Akron.
Yeah, all year. In fact, I mean, you could argue that's as impressive as Clemson's 10-3 against the spread.
They're like the 0-16 Detroit Lions yeah. of 2008.
You know, like when you hear like someone's like, "Man, I've lost my last 8 bets in a row." Like, well, that's
impressive.
That's as hard to do as probably winning 8 in a row, isn't it?
You know the story on my buddy, the great Robbie Kirk. Had an 0-13 NBA Sunday once.
Yeah.
It's like, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's no less impressive than going 13-0.
Except in your bank account.
Yes. But that's when you just, you know, I'm not going to lose this 14th in a row, so I'm going all in.
I had a buddy of mine text me and said, I've had a terrible year picking. I said, well, I have too. In our pool that we do and on Brave and I's show, I have not been good this year. And he said, yeah, And I said, listen, never fear, though. You can always get right with college hoops and hockey, man.
Nothing could go wrong there.
College hoops.
Or how about just the NFL playoffs? Like the
easy covers for Kansas City and Green Bay.
The Packers are up yesterday 21-3 at the half. Then they're up 28-10 in the third quarter, and that cover comes down to a 2-point conversion.
Quick question here. You realize this is the 100th year of the NFL, right?
Yes. Packers-Chiefs is what you're telling me.
The NFL would probably like that. That was Super Bowl
yeah.
I.
Yeah, Rodgers and Mahomes would be good. I like the Packers in that NFC Championship game.
Boy, I think San Francisco's better than them. I think they're better coached. But Green Bay does have the better quarterback. And then he's coming home. The Niners passed on him to take Alex Smith.
Yeah. Remember, they played during the regular season, and Rodgers threw for, it was under 100 yards.
San Francisco, was it 38-9?
I mean, something like that.
Crushed them.
Hammered them. So that -7 this week looks like, what are you,
that line be like 24? I mean,
yeah, I would think so, right? Yeah, come on. That's a gift.
Kansas City, I like, but boy, if they fall behind, it's going to get nervy. And as Georgia fans, we should have a place in our heart for the Kansas City Chiefs. They have had a similar...
Or just Andy Reid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Story arc. I mean, it just... Literally last year, they had to get... They're going to the Super Bowl. Oh, no. He was offsides. Oh, and then they...
Or they touched Brady on the shoulder
right.
and got a
And then they lose the coin
foul.
Toss in overtime. And I mean, they've been so close. I mean, and again, it's like I say with Georgia, they've had... You know, it's not like the Chiefs have been bad. I mean, Chris, for our lives of following the NFL going back to the 80s, they've been good way more often than they've been down.
Well, Reed took them over. They had gone 2-14, had the top pick, and they took that Eric Fisher.
Yeah.
And they've been in the playoffs every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reed is – they've been as consistent making the postseason as the Patriots have. But they don't have New England this year to deal with. They're at home again.
That's right. And they don't have to play Baltimore or New England.
No, you've against the team.
For the Kansas City Chiefs, you've got to win this
they're
game.
Playing Ryan Tannehill in the AFC Championship game.
I mean, it's so much so. And I'm sure we got Georgia coaches that I love that listen to this show. And they say, how can you say that? If they don't win this, they got to part ways with Andy Reid. You're never going to have a better situation.
No, this is teed up for them.
You got Tannehill and the Titans, not Brady and the Patriots, not Jackson and the Ravens.
Yeah.
If somebody would have told you that in October.
But we watched Justin Fields in the Fiesta Bowl, so I've got a feeling I'm going to watch Ryan Tannehill start the Super Bowl in Miami.
So you're going Titans. NFL ain't having the Titans in the 100
not to
year
get all not to go
Super Bowl.
Not to go all Terry Bowden on you. But with teams like the Titans, to me, it's like we've seen these teams before, and either they're going to get blown out or they're going to win the game. I don't think there's any middle ground.
No, like when we do our scenarios, the four options, win big, win close for either side, the top two scenarios are Kansas City by double digits and Titans close.
Right.
It's one of those
there's
two.
The
Titans ain't blowing Kansas City out.
And they're not winning close.
The Chiefs winning a close game is not likely.
No. Yeah. That's what I'm – yes. Titans aren't just going to lose a tight game. In fact, I think it'd be the Titans would blow them out before they would just lose a close game.
Right,
it'll just
right.
be a game where the Titans are – they're just – you don't want to get in front of them right now, and they – because it's been done before, these teams to win three straight road playoff games. I think the 85 Patriots were the first, and then
they
went a while, and it's happened maybe like four or five other times.
Well,
but
we went through it just on the trends. We went through it on Friday. You had that. Now, it's been 6 years in a row, two teams with byes made it to the Super Bowl, but before that, it was, what, 8 out of 9?
Yeah.
One of the teams had won three games to get in.
Yeah. So, this would be road.
Ooh.
All right, your 5 at 5 brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.